I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Rick Frischman. Rick is a publisher at Morgan James Publishing in New York, founder of Planned Television Arts, which is now called Media Connect. He has a very long, extensive bio, which is great. A leading book publicist in America, Rick has worked with many of the top book editors. He's worked with a bunch of best-selling authors, such as Bill Moyers, Yogi Berra, Sophia Loren. It kind of runs the gamut. Rick has appeared on hundreds of shows and publications, including Oprah, which I watched the clip of. It's kind of interesting. And he's appeared on stage. He's written lots of his own books. Rick has a BFA in acting and directing and a BS in communications from Ithaca College. And he and his wife, Robbie, live on Long Island. They have three children, Adam, Rachel, and Stephanie. Rick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Great being here.
Thank you. So, Rick, tell me a little bit about your journey and how you ended up doing such notable work, things like getting on Oprah, which lots of people would love to do.
Yes. Okay. Well, first of all, I'm old. And I started in 1976. A long time ago, I was a producer at WOR Radio in New York for a guy named Barry Farber.
I remember Barry Farber.
Yeah, great guy. And that was my first job. And I had all these people calling me. And I was booking Jimmy Carter on the show and all these famous people. And that kind of got me into the radio world. I graduated with a degree in, as you said, TV radio from Ithaca College. And there's a story about that. A friend of mine who graduated just before me and was a weather man in Ithaca. That's a tease. We'll talk about who that was. In 1975, a weatherman at Ithaca College and at the Sirachi Cable. And what is he doing now? But my first job, again, was at WOR. Then I went to this company called Planned TV Arts, which is just one guy, a guy named Mike Levine, who was my mentor, and ended up being my best friend. And we built that up to be the biggest book publicity company in America. When I got there, there were two people, just me and him. And actually, 3 weeks after I got there, he had a bypass and was gone for 6 months. So it was me, and I didn't know anything about PR, and I kind of had to learn it, as I went. And built that up to be the biggest book PR company in America. And we launched folks like Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield, Harv Eker, a novelist by the name of John Grisham, who just had a new book coming out. No one ever heard of this guy. Barbara Taylor Bradford, Barbara DeAngelis, and worked with, lots of famous folks along the way, including President Carter and Barbara Bush and Howard Stern and hundreds and hundreds of other authors, and lots of small businesses. And what is interesting is every one of these folks were unknown, and were just building a business or becoming, wanted to be a best-selling author, wanted to get on Oprah, wanted to get on the Today Show. And there wasn't anything such as an internet when we started. There wasn't even a fax machine when we started. So everything was on the phone. And I'm going to put down the gauntlet here, even to you, David, I want all of you to become an author. You are an expert on something. And now publishing. I am now a publisher. My 16th book is coming out, actually, as we speak in January. And I am the crappiest writer on this call. In fact, I'm the crappiest writer in America. I mean, I suck as a writer. And I have 16 books out, and I've sold hundreds of thousands of books, and people think I know what I'm talking about because I'm an author. In fact, that's why you found me. It's like, wow, this guy's an author. He may know something. And truth of the matter is, I know, very little. I just, people think I do. So, and when you're on Oprah and on all these other shows, they think you know what you're doing because you've been there. So I'll be quiet. And what do you think about all that?
Rick, I think it's fascinating that you are revealing the fact that you're a crappy writer. Now, clearly you have ideas, and clearly you have thoughts, and it sounds like lots of people have followed you and followed your thoughts. But connecting the fact that having a particular kind of vehicle or channel to help people follow your thoughts is a very remarkable idea and concept.
Right. And so I'm going to give some people some homework assignments, because this is a teaching call as much as informational. So I want you to walk out of here after listening to this after a half hour or so with some things that you must do. So here, get ready to write, you know, take some notes, get your computer out or just a pen and pencil. So here are some things that I would love you to do to help build your business. And by the way, first of all, be present. I built our company to be the biggest PR firm in America. Now we're building our publishing company, Morgan James Publishing, where I publish 150 to 200 books a year. One of the most important things are that you gotta just realize that you're just you, and don't get too impressed with yourself. And people, I do an event twice a year called Author 101 University, and I bring in some of the biggest speakers and famous people from around the world, John Assaraf from The Secret, and Barbara DeAngelis, and famous literary agents and authors. And people call me and they say they want to, you know, be on my stage. And it's like, you know, I'm dealing with an assistant, an assistant's assistant to make a phone call, et cetera. And it's like, first of all, you know, be accessible. I answer all of my emails myself. I don't have assistants and assistants. If you want to call me, you pick up my phone. It's right at rickfrischman.com. You know, my phone number is on the bottom. My email is on the bottom. If you email me, I email you back. If you call me, I pick up the phone. And if I'm on a phone call, then it says I'm on a phone call, and I'll probably call you back within 24 hours. In building your business, you have to develop a relationship. I mean, I don't care if you're a lawyer, doctor, if you have a pharmacy, if you have a small business, is you need to start having a newsletter and having a relationship, a blog, and an internet presence with all of your customers, all the people who love you, and be accessible. But here is the first thing I want everybody to do, is make sure you have several URLs and several, you know, websites that people can find you at. And the first thing that I do as a publisher, and or the first thing that I do as a producer, is I do a Google search and see what comes up. So if you're checking me out, the first thing you're going to do is check out Rick Frischman, and hopefully rickfrischman.com is going to come up. You got to own your name. So I own rickfrischman.com, R-I-C-K-F-R-I-S-H-M-A-N, but I also own it with a misspelling, F-R-I-S-C-H-M-A-N. So you have to get yourname.com and misspellings of yourname.com. Go to whatever site works for you. I have a website getter I make no money on called Rick's Cheap Domains, rickscheapdomains.com, which is $9.95. Again, we give it away at cost. Use whatever you like, GoDaddy, anything. We don't pay more than $9.95. And reserve your name, reserve misspellings of your name. Now, here's another thing. If you can't get your name, let's say your name is Harry Smith, and you can't get harrysmith.com, get theharrysmith.com. You are the original harrysmith.com, the one and only harrysmith.com. You're also harrysmithauthor.com, harrysmithspeaker.com. Now, you're saying, why is that important? Because everything's on the internet now, and everyone's going to do a Google search for you and your business. So you must own the URLs for your business, and also phrases that relate to your business. So if you're in the diet business, insurance business, whatever you do, so that no matter what, we can find you. And here's a great homework assignment, guys. Do a Google search on yourself and see what comes up first, and see how many pages there are, and see if there's anything that you may be embarrassed about, because you should know about it. Next up, you must have a site, a main site that you can send people to so you can start building a relationship with them. So with me, I have about 50 sites, but my main site is rickfrischman.com or author101.com. And the main thing, go there, see what I've done, and you should have streaming video, streaming audio. In fact, David, you said you went to my site and you saw me on either Fox News, you saw me on Oprah, you saw newspaper stories from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. Now, I'm not bragging, I'm saying it's there because that shows credibility that I have testimonials and streaming video and streaming audio on my site. You all need to have that as well. So here's your homework. On your website, you need testimonials, you need a press page, you need streaming video, streaming audio, you need pictures up there, and you need some sort of ethical bribe. Write that down, an ethical bribe. So that if I'm on radio or TV, let's say I'm doing WOR Radio in New York, I wouldn't say go buy my book at author101.com. I would say go get my $1 million Rolodex, which is 131 pages long. It has thousands of contacts and it's absolutely free. Go get that at author101 or rickfrischman.com. So now I'm giving them a freebie so that has real value so that they can opt into my list and get my newsletter. You all need to be having a newsletter as well. Again, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, accountant, whatever it is, so that you can start having a relationship with your raving fans, as Ken Blanchard would call that. And you want to have raving fans who love you and love what you do and start talking about you. And the way to do that, again, is get them into your list, start sending them a newsletter or a blog so that you're giving them information. You're not selling them. You're giving them great content, great information, and wanting them to engage with you so that down the road, when you have something that you may want to sell them or some special that you want to give them, they will say, wow, this is great, and you're a friend who is part of their life. So most important thing is there's kind of four areas that you need to work on. Internet, which is your site, reserve URLs. And by the way, here's just another free tip. If you're parents, I want you to reserve a URL for your kids and your grandchildren. The minute they're born is get their name. And it's $9.95 a year. They will thank you for it. But make sure you have their name. And even different ways to reach them. It's a cup of coffee.
So Rick, when I'm about to name my child, do I need to go first and check if the domain is available before I pick the name of the child?
Oh my goodness, that's going a little bit too far. But I will tell you this: it's a great question. If your child is a new book, then the answer is yes. If it's a human being, name the kid whatever you want, and then get the name afterwards. But if it's a book, then you got to get the URL first. So here's a rule. The title of your book, if you don't own the URL for the title of your book, it is not the title of your book. So let me go there for a moment. I was in McGraw-Hill's offices, probably near your offices, and we knew we had a book, and WOW was in the title. We went to blatant plug rickscheapdomains.com. We looked at all titles that had WOW, and we found Where's Your WOW? And it's like, bingo, that's it. So we got wheresyourwow.com, and we got wheresyourwowbook.com. So here's another hint for everybody, okay, is I want you to own the URL for the title of your book and put book after it. And here is the secret sauce. Your book title should be 1 to 5 words. Where's Your WOW? Blink. The 4-Hour Work Week. Guerrilla Publicity. If you think about best-selling books, they're all 1 to 5 words, and reserve that URL. The subtitle of the book, you don't have to reserve. That's the promise of the book, which is 17 ways to get your competitors to wish they were you, 25 strategies to earn more money next week. you know, 8 tips to lose 5 pounds by next Wednesday, whatever it is. It's the promise of the book. What are you going to teach them? But so if your baby is a book, you need the URL. If your baby is a human, name it whatever you want. It could be Jezebel, you know, Jezebel, whatever crazy name you like, but then try to get the URL afterward. And if you can't get it, put the in front of the name. So there you go. Good question.
These are great homework assignments, and actually, you know, for all the different topics that we've had so far on Smashing the Plateau, there are great ideas for people to follow. What I see that happens frequently, particularly with people who have been in business for a while, who have hit a roadblock, is they get paralyzed. And it's like all these instructions are coming at them. And in particular, if when they are trying to find the URL, something doesn't work quite right, or the name that they think they want to use doesn't quite fit, or they can't find the URL for it, then they do nothing. What advice do you have to overcome these kinds of psychic roadblocks that keep us from really doing small things that will catapult us forward?
Great question. You know, and we've all been there and done that and have too much on our plate. And I have a kid, I call him a kid, who is risen to the top, who came to one of our events, and I'm going to give some of the tips that he has. His name is Brendan Bouchard. You may have heard of him.
I have.
Well, Brendan came to our event, and he was broke. He was actually more than broke. He was bankrupt. And all he did is do a book proposal, and I kind of met him and fell in love with this kid and took him under our wing and got introduced him to literary agents. So, and the rest is history. Now he's the new Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield, Ken Blanchard. He's the top of the top. And that all happened in about 5 years. So he went from bankrupt to multimillionaire, number one New York Times bestseller, and I'm his publisher in 5 years. And what did he do? I mean, some of the things that he speaks at our events. And by the way, check out Brendan Burchard, BURCHARD.com. Get his newsletter. It's great. He now has over 2 million followers on Facebook. I mean, it's crazy. But I was just with him, and he talks about roadblocks. And one of the things he talks about is block time. First of all, just, you know, setting priorities where little things like make a list every day, and just that you can do, because we all put too many things down and say, oh, there's too much, and then you do nothing. So I would put down 5 things that you're going to do each day and make a list and see how many got done. And don't get crazy and don't get down on yourself if you didn't get them done. Schedule block time, meaning time every morning where you're not going to be on email, you're not going to be on phone calls, that you are just concentrating on doing these things, whether just getting those URLs, finding someone to do your websites, other things like that. And make sure that you have start with an hour of uninterrupted time. And most of us don't do things because we start doing other crap. So figure out some block time, make that list and get a few things done every day. Number 2 is find a few partners that can help you. Now, I hear you saying, well, I don't have a lot of money. And I can't hire a website guy. I can't hire, you know, lots of people to do stuff. By the way, I have tons of great free resources at rickfrischman.com. One of the things that I teach people to do is hire a munchkin. And here's what I mean. Okay, I just got the URL, hireamunchkin.com. It doesn't go anywhere. It just goes to Rick Frischman. But I'm going to have it go somewhere. But here's the philosophy behind it. Most of you are somewhere where there are kids around and kids that are students at universities. And you can hire a kid at a university, whether it's, I happen to try to teach people how to get on radio and TV and newspaper and internet. Usually you could go to a local college and go to that college to their communications department and say, I want to hire a kid, and I'll pay him $10 an hour, $15 an hour to do stuff for me. And these kids are whizzes. They could set up websites. They can get URLs. They can call radio stations. They can call TV stations. And you could hire them for 10 hours a week to do things for you and work with you. And it's a local kid. They're making no money, so they have lots of extra time. And it's a great way just to get someone to help you get off your butt and do things for not a lot of money. You don't have to hire a PR firm for $5,000 a month. You don't have to hire there are virtual assistants, but they even tend to be expensive. Just my feeling is hire a munchkin, get a kid who's smart. I mean, again, if they're in a communications college or school or one of these universities, they're doers and they're looking to make a few extra bucks, and they can even, you know, they're probably, if they're local, they can come by and can meet them face to face, and they can help you with your list. And it's a great way of just getting something done. So do some block time, make a list, hire a munchkin, and don't get down on yourself. By the way, I have a Facebook group. I have 2,500 authors who are all helping each other, and I invite you to join. You don't have to be an author. You just want to be able to change the world and help people. So on Facebook, it's Rick Frischman, Author 101 Alumni Group, and you can just, you know, ask to join, and I'll accept you. And you can post there and get help from folks who are like-minded. And I police that site, by the way, where nobody is selling anything. The most anyone sells is an ebook for 99 cents. But if someone's trying to sell sunglasses or events or something else, I remove them from the site. So you can be around like-minded people who are helping each other. And for me, it has changed my life, being around folks who are making a difference, want to help the world, and want to give back. And if you're around folks like that, it's great. I'm going to say something. It sounds really stupid, but it's really simple. Get the negative people out of your life. If someone is a naysayer, negative, and says you can't do it and just putting down the world all the time, you know what? Don't hang out with folks like that. Hang out with people who are saying, yeah, you can do it and I can help you. That's why you're listening to this show. And if you're not fired with enthusiasm, you will be fired with enthusiasm. And that's Vince Lombardi. So if you are not enthusiastic, passionate type of person, get the hell out. You're gone. And that's the way I ran my business, and I invite you to do the same thing. You want great people around you, and then get new people in your life. Go to events. Join groups, join Facebook groups, join LinkedIn groups who are like-minded people who will help you. But in everything that you do in your life, you know, have a 100% money-back guarantee. And the reason I say that is if you don't believe in your product or your service enough to give a 100% money-back guarantee, and again, you can have, you know, intellectual property attorneys or attorneys help you with this. Where it's not forever, it could be 30 days or whatever legally, but make sure that you believe in what you do enough that you give a guarantee. And if you don't feel comfortable enough to give a guarantee with what you do, then you're not doing it good enough. So in our events, we always have a 100% money back guarantee. You can come. If after the first day it's not for you, we'll just give you all your money back. And think about then, you know, in your to-do list, you know, think forward. I mean, everything's changing so fast that whatever you're doing now is going to be obsolete 6 months from now. So, I mean, you always have to change your business and figure out what am I doing wrong and what are the next three things that I got to start doing that other people aren't doing. And, check out what the competitors are doing. Check out what's coming up and say, you know, and maybe it's time to merge. You know, if someone's doing it 10 times better than you are, and they're smarter than you are, if they're ethical and they're honest and you like them, you know, it may be worth meeting with those folks and say maybe we can do something together. So alone isn't always the best way.
That sounds great. Rick, you've been really successful. If you look back over your career and had to pick one challenge that seemed really daunting at the time, What would it be?
I ended up building my business. I had 50 employees over the years, and then I sold it. And I sold it to a huge, you know, conglomerate PR firm, et cetera, that does like $100 million a year. And I stayed with them for a long, long time. And I'm an entrepreneur. And for me, I think my biggest challenge was, after a few years in, I realized that, and I'm not naming names, that the people I sold to, only the only thing they really cared about was money. And that's what business is about, is money. But for me, you know, I had employees that were with me for 20, 25 years. And I cared about my employees. I cared about my clients. I cared about the people that, I was working with. And I realized after, you know, X amount of years in, that maybe this wasn't the greatest thing that I've done. I mean, yeah, it made me a lot of money and gave me freedom. But after a while, I realized, you know, this isn't fun going to work anymore. And you're in New York City. I live out in Long Island. I spent an average of 30 years commuting from Long Island for an hour and a half each way. So that's about 3 hours a day times 30 years schlepping into New York City. That's a Yiddish word, but that, on the Long Island Railroad.
Which I think most people know what that means.
Okay, well, the Long Island Railroad I took for about 30 years. I think it was on time twice. and then I switched to the Long Island Expressway, which you all know is probably the largest parking lot in the world. So I realized, my God, I'm spending 3 hours a day commuting. There's got to be a better way to life than this. So, and then I realized I'm working for people who only care about money, don't give a crap about my clients or my employees, and I changed my life. And that's something that, I realized. I mean, now I actually have a new book coming out, which is Work From Your Pool. At least it's a chapter in a book, and I own workfromyourpool.com. And that's my philosophy, is I'm old and crotchety, and so between now and the time that I die, which I do most of my interviews like this literally from my pool, whether it's in Florida or in Long Island, but it's certainly not on 43rd Street in Manhattan anymore. I think it's a little bit of searching your soul and saying, what the heck am I doing and who am I doing it with and is this making me happy? And I have always like 200-300 people come to our events. And one of the first questions I ask them is, and they come from all over the world, is how many of you are reinventing yourself? And virtually everybody raises their hand. And they're reinventing because they either got outsourced, which means their company, a conglomerate, bought their company and said, hey, it's been fun, but I'm paying you too much, you're out of here. Or they realized, this isn't fun anymore. I'm not doing it for the right reasons. I'm not giving back. I'm just doing it to make money. And they realize that they have to do something that when they die, they realize, wow, I actually liked what I was doing and I gave back a little bit and I made money along the way. And that's what, you know, when people come to our events, they get 4 days and they've taken, 50 pages of notes and then they don't do anything. Most people buy a book and never read it. Most people buy a program and never listen to it. Most people get coaching and buy a coaching program from someone like you or whatever, and they don't do anything with it. So it's like, what do you have to do to get off your butt? I'm being really mean, to like do these few things and still make a living and change your life. So that's why it's like, get that time, that block time, and make a list. And get a few people around you that will help you take action so that you can take one step at a time. You can't do it alone. I'm going to tell you that right now. You got to bring in people who you can invest in and who you trust and give them a little piece of it, but who will help you take action and get going. And I think that's the biggest thing I've learned is that, and I'm falling there in the same rut. There are so many things I need to do. I just redid my website, I got a new person to do it. I had to fire my old guy and get a new guy because nothing was happening. there are so many things on my list I have to do, and I'm getting a mentor and getting smart people in to help me do it. So one of the things is find a mentor who's done it and learn from them, and you know, take baby steps so that you can feel good about yourself and move in the right direction.
Rick, what are you working on now that you're most excited about?
Well, I'm working on books 17 and 18. So, so that's one thing, is once you've done it once, and that's what I realized, is my first book came out in 2000. It's like, man, I got this done, and I can't even write it. So if I did one book, I can do another one, and now I'm on book 7. My book, Author 101, you can look at online. You can go to Rick Fishman on Amazon. You can see all of them. So I'm always working on the next book. So once I have one, I'm on book 17, 18, and maybe even 19. I'm working on my next big challenge, is doing the same thing you're all doing, which is building my platform. And it's every day. It's like I post on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube every day. You should be doing that as well. I have a newsletter that goes out every week, but I'm working and I have mentors on building my platform. And Brendan has 2 million followers on Facebook. I have 14 or something. I mean, I have 5,000. You know. It's like, what the heck's going on? It's like, how did this kid do it? My wife's listening to me in the background and cracking up. It's like, wait a minute. You know, I'm older than he is. How the heck did he get up 2 million and I got like nobody, you know? Well, I'm trying to learn from Brendan. I'm going to his events and learning, saying, what the heck is he doing? And I got to start doing that. My list has been stagnant. I mean, I have a list, and hopefully all of you will be on it, because you're going to rickfishman.com. But, you know, I have like the same 20,000 people that get my email. And it's like, you know, how do I get 100,000, 200,000? That's the same thing that you're all working on, I'm working on, and I'm getting mentors to coach me on how to do it, because clearly Brendan's done it and I haven't, so I'm not doing it right. So it's like, you know, if I'm doing the same thing over and over again and it's not working, that's the definition of insanity. So I got to figure out better ways of doing it against smarter people, because, you know, it's I have the same challenges that you are. I mean, I'm a little bit farther ahead just because I'm an old fart, but, you know, I'm learning and bringing in folks who are smarter than I am. And one thing, my mentor, I started this interview with this guy, Mike Levine, who passed away last year. You know, I mean, when he started the company in 1962, again, you know, he was using an old Smith Corona typewriter. Then we graduated to an IBM typewriter. The first time we got a Xerox machine, it was heavenly, and it probably
cost a fortune too.
Oh my God! And you can't. And I had to fix this thing. You can't believe it.
They were messy.
It was messy in ink, and we Xeroxed one page a minute. It's like, that was amazing. You know, I mean, we had carbon. You know, remember CC is carbon copy.
That's right.
Carbon paper, and
that was messy too.
And he said, and Mike's rule was, you know, my way isn't always the best way. If you got a better way of doing it, teach me. And I got there in 76, and like, we got one computer, I remember it, 1980 something, and it was the size of a giant stadium, I think. You know, I mean, and it worked in slow motion. It's like, wow, this is amazing. We have a computer. And think about how everything has changed. You know, there were no cell phones. There were no anything. I mean, you actually had to call people. There's something incredible. We had to call them on a landline to talk to them. There was no texting. There was no email. But
and you had to go see people in person.
Yeah, we had real meetings and stuff. It was incredible. So think about how it's changed since 1962, since 1976. Is it better? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I went out and played, you know, catch, and went outside and played ball and did stuff. I mean, there's a great blog about that. You know, with other kids, I actually went outside. Our kids, you know, don't leave their room. They're just on the internet. So it's like, are things better now? Well, that's It is in some way and isn't in some way. I actually write a story about that networking match about a guy who was online, and he said hello to the guy online, and this guy was an unemployed chef. And it turns out, long story short, the guy he said hello to online ran all of Donald Trump's restaurants. Now he is Donald Trump's chief chef because he had the guts to say hello.
That's a great story.
How do you like that?
That's a great story.
If there's one thing you get out of all this dribble I'm saying on this interview, it's have the guts to say hello and get the hell out of your house and stand online on Starbucks and just go. By the way, I got to go back. My wife just told me, so I teased you at the beginning of the show.
I haven't forgotten. I was going to ask you.
And she said, all right, so now back to Ithaca College. And
because
said,
I went to grad school on the other side of town.
Oh, you went to Cornell?
I did.
Okay, well, you had all the smart girls, and all of you assholes came over to Ithaca for our pretty girls, just to bop our girls. So I know your type. At any rate, so he was a Sirachi Cable in Ithaca College, 1975. I was an RA, which is a resident advisor in Ithaca College at the East Tower. Remember the East Tower at Ithaca College?
Yes.
There were two big towers. You could, and I looked right across at Cornell, across the lake. Well, I was, and the head advisor for the East Tower was this guy named Bob, and he ended up getting a job as the weatherman at Sirachi Cable, and then he got a job. Actually, here's how he networked. His uncle was in a hospital in New York City, and in the bed next to him in the hospital was a guy who worked at ABC. And his uncle said, hey, my nephew works as a weatherman at Ithaca and is making like $4,000 a year. Could you help him get a job? Well, have him email me. Well, there wasn't email then. Have him call me, and I'll see what I can do. And he got a job as a production assistant through this guy at ABC, and which is the lowest of the low. And he kept on moving up. In fact, I graduated, and I met Bob at ABC, and he was wearing a tan suit. And I went out, and I got myself a tan suit because I wanted to be just like Bob. And he kept on moving up. And then he got into ABC Sports. I don't know if you remember Rune Arledge, but he ran ABC Sports. Long story short, he just graduated Ithaca College. Nothing else. He kept on moving up, and being a great networker and being nice to people. He ended up being president of ABC. His name is Bob Iger. And long story short, if you look him up, he is chairman of Disney. Probably the most important man in the entertainment world. In fact, they just extended his contract. And it all started by saying hello and networking and asking his uncle. You know, his uncle asked the guy in the bed next to him, could he help his nephew who worked in Ithaca as a weatherman? So you never know where things can lead. And he never went to Harvard. He was just a great people person and kept on saying hello and being nice to people. And when he took over Disney, he actually ended up, I don't know if you remember, but they had, Eisner had a huge fight with Pixar, and he ended up, his first thing he did is reach out to Pixar and say, look, let's fix this, and he fixed it, and the guy who was the number one shareholder at Pixar was a guy named Steve Jobs. You may have heard of him.
I think so.
Okay, yeah, and he became very close with Steve, and when they took over Pixar, Steve Jobs actually became the biggest shareholder at Disney, and Bob and Steve became close friends. But his feeling was always, we can work it out.
And which goes back to what you said at the outset, you have to develop relationships.
It's all relationships, and that's why Bob now is, you know, still chairman at Disney. Roy Disney loved him, the board loved him, they just extended his contract, and it's all relationships. And the same thing happened, you know, again, you know, with Pixar, is Steve Jobs, who wanted to kill Michael Eisner, became Bob's close friend and biggest shareholder, and it all comes down to relationships.
Rick, what's one of the favorite resources that has been pivotal in your career? I know you've mentioned a lot about mentors and different kinds of resources and obviously books, but what's one that you could mention that's been pivotal for you over the course of your career?
Well, for me, networking, going to events, obviously, but I think what changed my life was being an author. And the reason is this, is when I became an author, and again, and I'll teach you in a moment how I write my books, people thought of me in a different way. They looked at me as an expert. They looked at me as the authority. So I had been doing PR for like 20-something years. But then when my book, Guerrilla Marketing for Writers, came out, all of a sudden, newspapers wanted to talk to me. And radio shows wanted to interview me. And TV shows wanted to put me on the air. And why? Because I was an author. So,
and was there a resource that was pivotal in helping you to become an author or make the mindset shift so that you realized you needed to do that?
My resource was, you know, finding out that I realized I wasn't a great writer and realizing I could write a book with a ghostwriter. So what I did is I found ghostwriters to write my books with me and also co-authored. So every one of my books is co-authored with people who actually know how to write. And the way I do my books is I actually talk to my ghostwriter, just like we're doing now. We could take this interview and we could turn this into a chapter. And that's how I do my books. And in fact, what I invite all of you to do is get a program where you can talk to your computer. I mean, Dragon Speak is one, but there's a ton of them. And just talk your book into your computer and your computer will write it down for you. It's amazing what they can do. I mean, I do it with a ghostwriter where they record me and then they write it down. And here is your homework. Being an author changed my life. And here's how you write your book. I want you to write a book proposal. And it's as simple as this. Write down five titles. That's a hard word. Title. We talked about it. 1 to 5 words. Get the URLs. Then write down 15 chapter headings. So this is, what are we going to write about in the book? Here's what I want to teach people. So write 15 chapter headings. That is the basis of your book right there. In your proposal, I want you, and by the way, I have a book called Author 101. It just came out. You can get the Author 101 book proposal. It's still available for like $8 on Kindle. The new version will be coming out in January, but actually you're hearing this in January, so it should be out. It's Author 101, new book. You can get it, and it teaches you how to write a book proposal. But here is a free software. So we're not selling anything to you. Free is Rick's Book Proposal Wiz.com. Or you can get there at BP, standing for Book Proposal, bpwiz.biz, B-I-Z. And it's a free software that will actually write your book proposal just as I do it. It's plug and play. So here's what Rick did, and then you write your stuff. But in a nutshell, write 5 potential titles, write 15 chapter headings, do some research, do a comparative analysis of other books that are like yours to see what's out there and how is yours better. So this will help you write your book and make it different from other folks. And then also in the book proposal, write a little, there's a bit about who you are, what your platform is, just what we were talking about. How many websites do you have? How many people are following you on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn? How big a list do you have? Do you have your own podcast like this? Have you been on radio and TV? If not, do you plan on doing it? If you've been on radio and TV, is it on your site? It should be. So in essence, how many people are, as we talked about before, your raving fans, or as Dan Kennedy would say, in your herd? How many people love what you do and would be willing to buy the book or be dying to buy the book when it comes out? And in essence, that's what you're doing as a business, is you are building your herd, building your followers. How many people love what you do as whatever it is that you do? Again, lawyer, dentist, doctor, entrepreneur, expert, whatever it is that you do, and you are all experts in some way. how many people are following you. So your homework now is do what I did, is realize I got to have a book on something, and your competitors are going to go nuts when you do it. It's great. How are you an expert? What can you teach? What can you do to change the world? And then you can simply start just talking your book. And if you do it a half hour a day for 20 days, a half hour will end up being about 15, 20 pages. And a book these days, the sweet spot is 175 to 200 pages. So if you have 15 chapters and every chapter is 10 to 15 pages, you're done. It's as easy as that. Then you give the transcript of what we just recorded to a ghostwriter or an editor, and I have tons of them available for you. And again, it's all at rickfrischman.com, or just send me an email. And by the way, I started the interview saying I respond to everybody. My email is rick@rickfrischman.com. Send me an email. I will respond to you, and I'll help you out. And by the way, listen, your email should not be charlie@ 427834@yahoo.com, because no one will remember that. Your email should be like mike@mikesmith.com. So mine is rick@rickfrischman.com, and then it forwards to whatever email or Yahoo I use. So that way when you're on radio or TV or giving it out, it's easy to remember. But back to the book proposal. You record your book, we get it to an editor, they clean it up, and voila, you now have a book which you can send me, which I may be able to publish at Morgan James Publishing, or I work with 100 literary agents and publishers. I can help you get it out. And there's all different ways of getting published, and that's up for a whole other podcast on how to get published in America and different ways of doing it. But the good news is you all have power now, and you don't have to wait for Simon & Schuster or HarperCollins. You don't have to give them your rights. You don't have to wait 2 years. You have power to get it done quickly and efficiently and easily, and it will change your life.
That's great. That's great. And thank you again for reminding listeners how they can learn more about you. Rick, thank you for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Rick Frischman, who is publisher at Morgan James Publishing in New York. Thank you again, Rick, for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.